Sip.
I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
If I were a feral cat.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
You get one team. Mine's the Houston Oilers. I'm not the Texans, and I'm not the Titans, so I'm out.
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 2 sponsored by our friends at Pinnacle Bank. Home ownership starts at Pinnacle Bank, whether it's your first house, a new build, or a refinance. Chris, Adam, and Marlon are ready to help. Get started at Pinnacle Bank in Lincoln. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 403445. Pinnacle Bank, sponsored Hour 2.
How important is your first buy?
Very
first
important.
House. And Jake, you bought the townhouse, right?
Elizabeth had that house before I knew her. She bought the townhouse.
She bought the townhouse.
I moved into the townhouse.
Oh, whoa. That's news. That just, okay.
I did not buy it. Yeah, we did not buy
kinda
that.
Kind of living free, huh? All right. Nice job, Elizabeth.
Yeah, never had that.
Never had that set up right there. But boy, when you get your first place, that's a lot.
It is.
And guess what they have? You have Pinnacle Bank now to
I
take
think
care of all the.
I Pinnacle Bank.
God, that'd be incredible.
It's Trix's bank.
If you're thinking about it right now, like, listen, it's time to buy. You want to get to Pinnacle immediately. Get them today. What were the names again?
On those ones?
Yes.
That was, thank you for asking. That was
those guys
Chris,
are...
Adam, and Marlon.
Name
Marlon.
Yes, Marlon.
I'd ask for Marlon first, just because maybe he's like a magician. Marlon.
Well, he might. He might be.
Yes. That'd be great. All three of those guys would crush it.
PBA.
Yes.
Pinnacle Bank. God dang, I was texting. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Whew. Focus
text in.
Who are you
Sean.
Texting? You texted Sean.
Sean. We'll have Sean at 8:10 a.m. today.
Yes, we will.
He couldn't talk yesterday because he didn't have a face for
well, we had
video.
we had an issue going on here.
Yeah.
The phone now is working. It's good. The video is hit or miss. It's on right now. It'll be gone probably in 30 seconds. But the phone line's working, so we can hear from Sean today that way, like we heard from Rick Heyman last segment.
We'll have a lot of information, Sean. So yeah, it's good. He wasn't prepared for a video interview yesterday because he was picking up coffee at a restaurant. He lives a different kind of lifestyle.
A restaurant.
Yeah.
Went to a restaurant to get coffee.
I'm in a restaurant picking up coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Never heard of that before.
That's more of a South Side move.
South Side move. Yeah. I'm not. I'm East.
I know.
I'm on the East Side. I'm in the Northeast. I'm literally a block from O Street, from the apex.
Isn't that a South move to do that? I'm at a restaurant getting coffee. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a Sean Callahan move.
Yeah.
But he'll join us today wherever he's from, driving.
I think he's driving from Kearney. I think he'll be in his car or his SUV, as it were.
Well, that's an hour from now. 464-5685, call or
an
text.
Hour from
is,
now.
It is. It's
Jake's
just
not,
under an
Jake's
hour.
Jake's not
at
happy
this point.
With us a lot.
I'm fine. We're good. I'm more upset with the video, with the Ethernet situation than the video.
Okay. Ethernet.
We're on right now, but I'm sure it'll kick
is
me out in 30
Spectrum's
seconds.
Out here?
I don't know.
Spectrum, a lady with a Spectrum vest just walked by.
I don't think we
by.
Use Spectrum.
Oh. Well, never mind. There she is.
Not Spectrum.
Is that what's going
no,
on?
That's Amazon.
Oh.
It's not Spectrum.
She's delivering packages.
Delivering packages. No, there's zero behind
man.
The,
right.
Imagine her. Excuse me, ma'am. If you could please fix our internet. Well, I'm delivering packages for Amazon right now. But I guess I could take a look at it quick.
What do you know about Ethernet?
My family's into it.
I just got a text I want to read to start off the
Please,
sound.
Do
this
it.
Is from Brandon. He's got a long text about NIL and is upset with how it has changed and evolved.
Okay. Yes.
This is about the portal NIL. This is from Brandon. It says, NIL was designed so that these student athletes could make money off of themselves for ads, autographs, endorsements, etc. It was never intended to turn it into an online auction site, inciting a bidding war among schools for potential players. Let them make unlimited on NIL. For the universities who regarding paying players, there needs to be a base contract earning price that's unanimous across the board for all players and universities. Then there needs to be a contract bonuses for these kids. If you win 10 games, you get an extra so many dollars. If you win the national championship, yada, yada. If you hit milestones for sacks, touchdowns, tackles, etc., that would make the field fair in more ways. Any thoughts on that?
Well, one thing that will stand out is that you have to understand that the ginormous error that was made by the NCAA and basically the institutions when they were just making so much money hand over fist and did not progress at all and just say, because if they would have done anything and said, you know what we're going to do, we're going to supersize the, we need to supersize the scholarships. That's what we need to do. Supersize the scholarships. Guess what? They'd have went for it. It would have been great.
They might have. But I wonder.
Instead, I wonder. It finally got challenged and it went to the Supreme Court. And I think it's the Alston case.
Loose.
And when they lost that, then everything was gone.
Loose.
There was nothing else you could do like that because nothing, it's not legal to not allow someone to make their worth in some avenue. So that's where the whole thing has come up. Now, what he's saying is right, but also at the same time, just understand that both sides have to agree to it. That's why there's in the NFL, there's collective bargaining, and both sides don't agree to it. So it'll stay mayhem until this happens. Until there's some form of collective bargaining by the players with either the universities or whatever, and everybody says they don't want them to be employees. They're going to have to be employees at some point in time.
Don't you think it'll stay mayhem as also because there's not enough enforcement? There's not a governing body that can handle
it. I don't even know what those guys are doing. They brought in the...
what is the NCAA
we're talking about the NCAA.
Doing?
Yeah. But there's also that CSC.
That's what I'm talking about. They came in. They brought in a commissioner. We're going to crack down. It's on. There's nothing on.
The College Sports Commission?
Yeah. They're sitting right now. They're someplace probably in New York City having coffee.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are we getting?
Is there an enforcement team that walks in every day with briefcases and says, okay, we're watching Clemson
set the
today.
Yeah. Here.
You know, we're watching
basically, they have to submit everything, and everything has to be legal. And that's not happening right now. It's just that everyone knows there is no enforcement. They're not.
That's a big problem, Brandon. Yeah. Brandon, enforcement's a huge problem.
They had a situation about 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, where the committee, the clearinghouse, basically sent out that every school needs to sign a contract that we're going to agree to this
the CSC.
We're going to agree to this form of following rules
enforcement,
and also we're going to sign a contract that if something is wrong, you cannot sue us. And we need all of you guys to sign it. Guess who signed? Zero.
Nobody.
Because
if you don't sign it,
it's like no one's doing that. And so right now, and I said there has been. Remember when we went to RevShare? It's like we've made progress. There's been no progress, zero progress. And some of the people that were unbelievable in the process are now out of it. 1890 is no longer.
Yep.
They're like going, no, what university? You got it. We're out of this thing now. This is all you. And it didn't appear as if when Carson was sitting here that he was disheveled for being out of it because of how wild it is. And so it's just unbelievable. But what he's saying is not wrong. Just understand the why, how it happened, and the only way to fix it.
We don't really appear to be getting closer to fixing it, though, do we?
No, because there's no, because everyone's fighting for themselves.
Like you think at some point there's going to be some sort of, hey, we're getting close to this. Nothing.
I don't know.
You have the problems go so deep because you also have the what problem? You have the calendar problem.
Yeah.
The calendar problem has nothing to do with NIL, nothing to do with all this other stuff. That's another problem. But when there's no commissioner, that's why I said you need mayhem to break out. And maybe this happened with the Washington quarterback because now all of a sudden, maybe all the way across the board, someone's going to say enough is enough.
Okay.
Is
or
enough.
What else would cause enough is enough? That sort of dialogue. One other thing would be as if the TV ratings plummet, then the leaders, whoever the leaders are, might say, we have to get this fixed.
Yeah. If you watch like the Miami Ohio State game, some people say, well, there's a couple of games weren't very good. Just watch the playoffs this week. There'll be some horrific games. I sent
NFL,
Jake,
yeah. Oh, NFL. Every year there's a couple blowouts.
There's some games. Yep.
So what do you say?
How'd you belong? Why? There's always going to be some odd games that things don't belong. But there's been incredible games. I mean, right now, I mean, is anyone not enjoy the Indiana story? Does not enjoy the Ole Miss story? Lions going
tonight,
on
tonight? I would think the ratings Oregon. Will be high.
I would think so. I don't know how high they go on a Thursday and where that's all at. I don't know.
I'm just saying if TV ratings plummet, that would get a lot of people's attention.
Well, the other problem is like I said, if the game comes on at 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon, it fits all time zones. Now it's okay. It's 12:30 in the so when this game starts, it's starting at 4:30 West Coast time. Uh-huh. You think that anybody in LA is getting off work now to watch this game?
I don't think so.
At 4:30,
I don't think so.
I mean, the whole West Coast is on a different time zone, so that makes no sense. But if you do it at a different time, that means the East Coast is trying to finish the game up around 1 in the morning.
Yeah,
so that doesn't add up either. And so, but if the game's on a Saturday, it works for everybody. It has a chance to work for everybody. So ratings will struggle compared to a Saturday because of that. May not struggle a bit because they can say, well, on Saturday you're going to be messing with the NFL, which is an issue. And so what you really need to have, you just really wish, because the college football is the feeder. If there's no college football, there's no what? There's no NFL. You don't have it. There's none. So what you really need to have is the NFL to be the ones that say, you know what, maybe we could help out our brothers here. Mm. And have the, and not try to compete with them on their day.
God, so
let them have their day.
This is so messed up right now. You just don't know. I just think that the biggest issue is there's no core leadership group.
100. There's no
can't
commissioner.
Point to anybody.
There's no commissioner. It has. I mean, it's real simple how it goes down in the NFL. There's a commissioner. Then he has his people. Then he represents the owners. Then you have then that's why you have a players' union.
Right.
That's how the thing works.
And then in the case of college football, you don't even know who to point to. So what you're talking about is lack of accountability.
And you say, well, you think maybe Sankey and Petitti like that?
Yeah.
You know what? They like where they're at. Yeah. They're in charge.
Yeah.
They're not the same as the Big 12 and the ACC. No. We're better than them.
Right.
We have and right now it's like even Petitti's sitting there going like, whew. Right now, we have the most money.
And what are Sankey and Petitti governed by? Self-interest. They're not thinking about the good of the Sun Belt Conference. They don't give a damn about that.
If people had to drink truth serum, they'd be like going, this is not good for us. But I'm in charge of the SEC. I'm in charge of the Big Ten. And that's what I'm in charge of.
That's right. And I get that.
And don't be mad at them for that.
Right. No, I'm not.
Yeah, it's like, no. They're,
no,
they're
that's in- their job is their job.
Hey, guys. Jake Sorensen. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off of your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. But Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. And if your identity is ever stolen, you are backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
And I get it.
The only person that's going to say anything is going to be when they're done. That's why, like right now, Saban can say a lot of very intelligent things because he's no longer coaching. And so the commissioner, there's no commissioner saying, watch what you say. He can say what he wants. And he can say what he wants because he can speak the truth. Or everyone can because there's no one watching. Sankey might say something different 2 years from now when he's retired.
Yeah,
he might exactly. be able to say, you know what, this is not going the right direction.
I still enjoy it. I'm not as big a curmudgeon about it as a lot of people.
But you, like you said, if ratings drop, then this will change things. But ratings aren't dropping. They're still doing very, very well in viewership. So we can be frustrated all you want, but people are still watching the product at a very high level.
Well, everyone thinks now it's like, what? We're one portal class away from being there. There's people in these playing right now that's like that.
Okay, so Sean the other day said, well, there's a degree of appeal, a high degree of appeal, because it's now spread out. Look at the teams like Indiana, even Ole Miss. They can be really good now. It's not just an Alabama, Georgia thing. Now, what I would say, now here's my question to you guys. It's more spread out, but is it just more spread out in the Power 2? Is it just, there's more SEC teams like Vandy that are good, and there's more Big Ten teams that have gotten good that you wouldn't have expected, Indiana. But does that extend to the ACC and the Big 12?
Well, yeah. I mean, because I think right now, I mean, Texas was a 4 seed,
Texas
right?
Tech.
I mean, Texas Tech, I mean, was a 4 seed.
Miami's in the...
Miami's in the... We think right now Miami could win it all.
But they sure...
Is there enough teams in the Big 12 and the ACC that are threats to win it all?
Not enough. No, there's not enough teams.
Because is it all just shifting so hard to the SEC and Big 10? It just seems like if there's a good player, they want out.
Can you imagine if Indiana or Oregon wins this whole thing and the Big Ten gets 3 in a row? I mean, I can't imagine.
And that will, because I think it's going to happen.
You have the one seed right now at Indiana.
Can you imagine that flex? What that would be? Because all of a sudden it's like Because before it was, if you want to win a national championship, you have to basically get to the SEC.
Don't you
Clemson
think
that- was in there for a while, but that was still to have your shot. You have to leave California, or you have to leave wherever, and you got to get to the SEC at one of the elite schools. Not so much
not
now.
It seems pretty clear that the winner of tomorrow's game will be the favorite for the championship.
Well, but
Indiana
say,
or Oregon. If Oregon wins, this is still the favorite to win.
I mean, what are the odds are very good that the Big Ten's going to have the champion right now. Very good.
If Oregon pulls this off, it'll be the probably one of the greatest coaching jobs ever.
Dan Lanning?
Because he's got two coordinators who are head coaches someplace else. Yep. So you don't get a chance to because you can't say, guys, we're just not working on Cal or not working on Kentucky. They just flipped a quarterback, right?
Tosh
Kentucky
LaPorte.
Did. I mean, those guys have to. They put together they have time of the day where they're like, okay, now I need to work on my other school. And I have to have my other staff put together. I have to do all these things. And it is daunting to be a head football coach. You could work 120 hours a week and be behind. And yet you're doing that at the most critical time while you're still coaching for someplace else. So if Dan Lanning can pull this off where his staffs are focused, because that was some incredible heat that Colin Klein took at A&M because they scored 3 points. And it's like, well, yeah, he's concerned about K-State.
K-State.
I mean, they took a lot of heat.
So you're talking about Tosh LaPorte and Will Stein.
If they pull this off and they win with two other coaches that got named, what, 3 weeks ago?
A while ago.
A long time ago, got named head coaches in other spots. Because right now, Indiana, what is their distraction?
None.
Well, it's portal. That's what I'm saying. Also, they keep both coordinators. Like, this is an elite team. Yeah, that's 25 I mean. And 2 is identity, and they keep the OC and the DC. Yeah.
And they're crushing it in the portal. Crushing it. Not just a quarterback.
Are they just like saying no to offers for interviews or what? These coordinators.
So I want you to think about the distraction at Oregon and the distraction at Ole Miss. Can they overcome them?
Pick Indiana is what you're telling me.
I'm just saying, can you overcome
them? Pick Indiana.
Them? It's going to be really hard because there's no distractions at Miami.
Indiana's going to win it all. Indiana's going to win it all.
Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, back to back to back.
And then Indiana's loaded up next year. This is a freak show of all freak shows right now. He is a unbelievable force.
Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana.
Like Hoover goes there with way more hoopla than Mendoza did. Mendoza was good at Cal. We liked him last year, but not
just
this
Hoover,
level.
Though. I was listening to Klatt yesterday. They got a great portal class going.
Oh, yeah, they're killing it.
Like, all throughout. It's Hoover.
And don't forget the first year Curtis Rourke came from Ohio, and he got hurt.
He was good.
He was a good quarterback.
And they went up another notch.
another one with Hoover.
But when Mendoza went there, there was no talk
about
it.
Not really.
No, there was. They were six.
No, there wasn't.
I think, were they 6-6 or 5-7?
Cal.
I think they were 5-7.
I remember.
Mendoza was a curiosity.
Yeah, it's like, okay. And it's like Cal from Florida.
It was a curiosity.
And but you had watched him in that game against Miami. You liked him last year,
I did
right?
like him. Yeah. I go, man, that's pretty impressive. But
he wasn't much more than a curiosity.
No, that was it. No.
He went from curiosity to Heisman. To number one pick in the NFL.
But I remember reading why he was asked by CBS Sports why he went there. He said, I can be a first-round pick under Cignetti. Like, he said that, and he packed it up by doing it and became probably first overall, if not second, and also the Heisman Trophy
Obviously,
winner.
Obviously, there's still the element of NIL involved, but also those players on that team are selling what it's like on the inside.
I got a question for you. If Cignetti – okay, this is a legit question. If he wins this year and next year, now do you say he's the best coach of all time?
The amount of time would not be put him in that. It takes more time.
Well, I'd almost use that to say, yeah, that's why he is. Because it didn't take him any time.
It's the most incredible story of all time. I mean, I'm not
going
to say that it's the...
You wouldn't say he's the best coach.
I'm not saying he is either,
but I wonder if you could start to think
about
it.
I'd have a hard time if you just said, okay, we're going to start the year off and both teams have the same people that Cignetti wouldn't find a way to win. He would be the guy you'd put your money on. Like, no, he'll run his team at an unbelievable rate. You know right now on third down defense, I'm off which way? I think offensively on third down, they're first in the country in converting, and they're second in the country in defending it.
I want you
to think about that.
Come on.
They're first in – or it's the other way around. It's one
whatever.
And two.
They're one
That's
and two.
It's one
whatever.
And two.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
And third then, down's a down.
Like I said, and with all these teams, it would be fun to watch. Just watch tonight and then obviously tomorrow. Just watch those games. And you'll see it really tomorrow for sure. Just watch how much there'll be a little bit of talking and stuff like that. You don't see a bunch of extracurriculars.
Histrionics.
There's playing football. They just play. This is how we do the game.
Histrionics.
Histrionics.
Like
is that a word?
That's a big word.
It is. It's an incredible word.
I'm doing it.
Word.
You do the word of the day.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Histrionics.
Let's
yeah.
fire it up.
Do we have word of the day still?
He's a man of many words.
Don't
thank
be
you.
Indignant about it. I'm just asking.
word of the day already?
Indignant.
Well, maybe too many words.
I don't like to portray myself as a
Colin's very confused.
And,
Colin's never heard this before.
Questionable pronunciation at times.
Graham Mertz.
There's plenty of players like Thor Bjarnason. Yeah, that guy.
It's time for Steve Sipple's word of the day on early break.
I love this.
Was it histrionics, the word?
Histrionics. I crushed this one.
Yeah, what do you got?
I crushed it. Histrionic. Exaggerated dramatic behavior designed to attract attention.
That is, you nailed it.
He did nail it.
Well done. Can't do any better than that.
That's what I'm looking for tonight. Watch these two.
Histrionic.
I've never heard
and
that
I'll say it
in my
tonight.
Lifetime.
I'll say it to Laura tonight during the game.
Say histrionics.
I will say histrionics.
Look at the histrionics. Hey, I'll help.
Yeah. I can't believe we're this.
Word of the day. Thank you for that, Sip.
Yeah, I'm starting to think if he would win back-to-back, which is conceivable, that then you start talking about him as the best coach of all time because of the short time frame he needed to do what he did.
He's in a lot of storylines, and there'll be some that
are you pushing back on that?
I don't think.
Yeah, I love Sick Daddy.
If you had the Belichick,
yeah,
Saban,
yeah,
Urban,
yeah,
Coach Osborne.
They did it over time.
All these, but if you took them all and then you threw Cignetti in there and said, one of the producers in the movie business, said, make a movie. What movie do you want?
Cignetti.
Cignetti's the lead. It's not even close. That's the question you want.
See, the question you have in that discussion is, could you throw Urban at Indiana and he wins two national titles in 3 years? Could he do that? Yeah. How many of those guys could do that?
Well, for the most part, the answer would be no.
Right. That's what I mean.
Because you look at it and you just go, it's always like, could they?
It seems inconceivable.
Up until the middle of this year, they're the losingest program in the history of college football.
It's the circumstance that leads you to that question.
You didn't do this. If Urban would have went to Miami and won one, okay, be like going, yeah, okay.
It's a good story, but not like this.
It's a good story. They haven't been around for 25 years, but it is the U. It is this. It is certain places. And look back and say, hey, now they've done some pretty good things there. Indiana's never done. They've won 4 bowl games.
Ever.
In the history of the school. They haven't won one since 1991.
They played for a long time.
And then the other
too.
Part of it that you understand is it's not fluky. They're really good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
They're not like, man, they have got... They're empty, and then they're in this formation, and this and that. You watch them; they hand the ball off and
hammer.
And also, like I said, the crews that were there were like going, "They're not going to win. They don't look like an SEC line. O line does
they
not
said,
look,
watch this.
Watch it." And they went out and blocked everybody.
But their D line look like an SEC D line?
Not elite, but they're good. Yeah, and remember, and they also lost one of their best pass rushers in a celebration after the Big Ten championship game.
That's a good point.
When we come back, Bill's Thrills is next on Early Break in the Ticket.